Well, welcome to week three of the series that we started, Word to the Wise, where we are reading the very words of Jesus, and Jesus is talking to us as he talked 2,000 years ago to a group of people actually larger than this in all of our campuses, and he was talking to them about character and how you and I can live out character and what character means if you claim to be a Christ follower. If you're here and you're a Christ follower in any one of our campuses, this is stuff that Jesus says to us that must be part of our lives. And so we're considering through our small groups and on the weekends as we're gathered here to think through how you and I can live out these characteristics in our lives and so that Jesus can work through us in all that we do and all that we say. If you're not a Christ follower, we're honored that you're here, by the way, and we're so grateful that you would come to Fairhaven Church. We want you to know that Jesus is the game changer in your life. But at least what we're saying here and what we're looking at in the Bible is at least good advice for you, practical advice, if nothing else. And so you can journey with us too, because we're all at different places in our spiritual journey and spiritual faith. So here's what we said is the big idea of this series. We said this, that happiness is found in wisdom. So let's say that together, church. All of our locations, here we go. Let's say it together. Happiness is found. Wisdom is found through, and character is found. So what we've been saying is this. What Jesus is saying in this Sermon on the Mount, or his greatest talk ever, is this. That if you want life to make sense, you want to consider Jesus in your life, because what Jesus does is give you characteristics in order that you might live out your life in a way that brings wisdom. And wisdom will make you filled with joy, happiness. We said it's not happiness that's momentary. It's not like buying a new car or getting a gift. It's joy that goes way down in your life, and that joy can be found in wisdom when you do the right things and you make good decisions. And wisdom can be found through character that you live out your life in a consistent way, and that character is found with Jesus. So that's what we're doing here. We said this, that the definition of character, because we want to make sure that we're all on the same page, is this, that character is consistent action because of a right heart. That when you act consistently because your heart is right, chances are you're going to make really, really wise decisions in your life. And chances are you're going to find great joy in your life. And so when Jesus talks about these character traits, he wants us to understand a consistent action in our lives because of a right heart. That's what Jesus does. He makes us right. We said last week, we are made right to do right, right? And so that's what God does through Jesus Christ in our lives. Last week, we talked about the first character, and the character that we talked about was to be forgiving, that forgiving is a character trait that we ought to be consistent about in our lives because of a right heart. If you've known the forgiveness of God in your life, you are more apt to understand how to forgive the people around you. Would you agree with that, church? And when you understand forgiveness, then you're willing to give forgiveness to those. And we said that forgiveness is not just for those really, really difficult times when you've been harmed and hurt badly, or when somebody's hurt you, or when you've hurt somebody else. Certainly that's part of forgiveness, but forgiveness is an everyday event. And we said it this way, that forgiving is not being easily offended. And we're so easily offended, right? So the character trait is really important for us. Today, what I want to do is talk about loyal. The second character is be loyal. Loyalty is a character trait that God wants in us. That when you're the most loyal person in your neighborhood, in your business place, when we as a church family come together and we decide that we want to be loyal in everything that we do, it makes a big difference and it gives wisdom for you to making decisions, because sometimes you make the decision ahead of time. That's what loyalty does, which brings great joy in our lives. So we're going to talk about loyalty today. And yet in our culture today, I think you'd agree that loyalty or commitment is a scary word for many people, right? I mean, we talk a lot in our culture about diminishing loyalty and diminishing commitment, because after all, why is it really important to make a commitment? Why is it important to be loyal? And yet when you look around, you can see that without loyalty, we're in big trouble, right? We're in big, big trouble. I mean, we promise things, we get married, we sign contracts, we take mortgages. If you have a cell phone, chances are you're in a contract with a cell phone. We take jobs, we even take employees, and oftentimes in our culture we say, you know what, you don't need to necessarily make a commitment, just do what you want. Making a commitment is not a big deal, or is it? When you look at what Jesus has to say, you see that it's a big deal to Jesus. Loyalty and commitment is a big, big deal. In fact, let me give you the definition of loyalty. And if you just remember this, you've gotten this message, because this is really what Jesus is saying in three paragraphs that are really, really hard to understand, and three paragraphs that on the surface are really uncomfortable, and three paragraphs that not many of us like to read because we know someone, or we are that person, or we've experienced this in our lives, and we don't like to even talk about it or bring it up. But on the surface, it's not what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about something far deeper than that. And so let me give you a definition that I'll work with and that we can work with together, and if you've got a better one, come up with one. But here's my definition of loyalty when I look at it through Scripture. Loyalty is a commitment to a relationship and the attitude and behavior that is demanded of that relationship. That's what loyalty is. When you read in Scripture, and we'll read today what Jesus has to say about relationships, but loyalty is when you're committed to a relationship. So this is not just about married couples, even though a lot of the things that Jesus says when we look in Matthew 5 in just a second here is about marriages and relationships and so forth. We're not just talking to married couples. He uses that as an example, but this is true of singles in their relationship. This is true of middle school. Middle school, you hear? This is true of you in your relationships as you're in middle school and going to high school and college. This is true of grandparents. This is true of parents. This is true of all of us. That if you want to be a loyal person, loyalty is a commitment to a relationship and the attitude and the behavior demanded of that relationship. So if you want to be loyal to God, that means you need to be committed to the relationship with God, and you need to be committed to an attitude and a behavior or an action that is demanded of that relationship with God. You see how that works? So if you are married, then you need to be committed to that relationship and the attitudes and the behaviors that that relationship, marriage, demands of you. If you're single, whatever relationships that you have in your life with your friends or your family or coworkers or the person that you're dating, see, that relationship, you must be committed to that relationship and the attitudes and behaviors that are demanded of that relationship in order to do the right things in our lives. See, in our culture says that you ought to be able to have relationships with benefits and not have commitments. Have you seen that in our culture? Benefits without commitment, right? And what Jesus does is he turns it completely around and he says, look, it starts with a commitment. And when you make that commitment, then you live it out in your actions and your attitudes. And here's what happens. You get great, great rewards in your life. And so the rewards are really because of the commitment. The rewards are really because of the loyalty in your life. And so it starts with loyalty. And our culture, listen up, students, our culture has this backwards. Our culture says just enjoy the benefits and don't worry about the commitment. Just enjoy the benefits. And after time, maybe you could get committed. And you know what happens? There are so many people who are hurt and damaged. And the wake of that is huge. Right, church? So it's no wonder that Jesus talks about loyalty. So let's dive in and let's take a look at what Jesus has to say. Before I read it to you, we're going to take a look at the Bibles in our devices, and I'm going to ask you to write some things down and look at this, because at first glance, a little confusing. So Matthew chapter 5, we'll start in verse 27. And we're going to go all the way through verse 37. So 10 verses. Matthew chapter 5, we'll start in verse 27, and we'll go all the way to verse 37. Now, if you don't have a Bible, you may want to scoot over next to somebody in one of our campuses. We have Bibles. We'd be happy to give you one, because we think it's just that important that you have the Bible, that you can read, whether it's in red or not, you can read the very words of Jesus. So here's what I want you to do. As we look at these paragraphs, there's three of them in there, and in your Bibles, chances are there are headings on these three. Whether you have printed Bibles or electronic Bibles, there's headings that are there. I want you to listen to the hyperbole as I read these verses to you as we work our way through them. Hyperbole being exaggeration to make a point, all right? So you'll see some hyperbole in here, and then I also want you to see that the headings can be a little confusing, because at the surface, Jesus is using some examples, but he's really not talking about these examples, and I'll explain that as we work our way through these verses. Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 27. So if you look at verse 27, in most of your Bibles, it probably says above it, adultery. How many of you see that in your Bibles? Can I just see your hands? Just raise them up in all of our campuses, many of you, right? So if you want, you can write right next to it Exodus chapter 20. Because Jesus is addressing something that was in Exodus chapter 20, and he's really digging at something far deeper than adultery, but he mentions adultery as an example. Because how many of you would agree that adultery is a broken relationship? It's a way of not being loyal. Are you with me on that, church, right? So drop down to verse 31. He talks about divorce. He's not really talking about divorce. He uses divorce as an example of how disloyalty can really, really damage. Now, if you're here today and you've experienced divorce, stay with me, because I want you to know that we're not after you. We want you to know that you are as eligible as anybody in this room or any one of our campuses for grace and mercy and love and freedom and forgiveness. But what Jesus uses here as an example of what you and I need to be thinking about when it comes to loyalty, he talks about divorce. If you want to write in your Bibles or in your devices, you can write down Deuteronomy chapter 24. He's referring to that. And then drop down to verse 33. In verse 33, above your, in your Bibles, above the paragraph there, it talks about oaths. Do you see that in your Bible? Oaths, which is another way of saying promises. So if you're a high schooler, you might want to get promises, right? Just your word, keeping a commitment. And Jesus is talking about promises, although there's a much deeper meaning, and he's referring to Deuteronomy chapter 23. So if you want to write that down as well. So as we work through this, what we'll discover in these three paragraphs is three definitions of loyalty, and then I'll end with a fourth one. All right? Four things that we learn from Jesus about loyalty. If loyalty is a commitment to a relationship and the attitude and behavior that is demanded of it, Jesus is trying to drive this home. Now, as we talk about this, let's remember that the greatest commandment in the Bible is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, right? The second commandment is important. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. In these verses that Jesus is talking about, he's talking about horizontal relationships. And what he's talking about here is your horizontal relationships, catch this, will impact your vertical relationship. In fact, your vertical relationship, if you get this right with God, is going to help you tremendously in your horizontal relationships with people. So what Jesus is talking about is a character trait, not so much about our relationship with God, although that's the base of it, that's the foundation of it. He's going to be talking about the relationship we have with each other in all the relationship we have. Because loyalty is a commitment to a relationship and the actions and attitudes that are demanded of that. So let's read, and let me start in verse 27, Matthew chapter 5, verse 27. He says, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. Right there, he's referring to Exodus chapter 20. He's referring to the seventh commandment, do not commit adultery, the seventh commandment of the ten. Verse 28, but I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. You can hear the hyperbole in here, can't you? You can hear the exaggeration because he's trying to drive a point home. Let me give you the point, and then let's talk about it for just a minute. He's trying to describe loyalty, and this is what we learn here. Loyalty is radically dealing with my desires. Radically dealing with your desires. You have been given God-given desires in your life. And you and I must, if we're going to be loyal to a relationship and the attitudes and actions that is required of that, that you and I need to be very careful to radically, radically deal with desires. See, Jesus is talking about adultery, even though he's really not addressing adultery. He's addressing it because the people that he's talking to, he's down by the water. There's a whole bunch of people on the mountainside. That's why we call it the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is talking, and he knows what they're thinking. So he starts off by saying, you've heard it said that you shouldn't commit adultery. And probably 80% of the people in the group are like, okay, I got this one. Yeah, I'm good. I'm good here. And they're, you know, you can just see the Pharisees all smug and they're all buttoned up and they're probably have their hands crossed like this and like, yep, I'm good. I got that one, right? Because he's referring to a commitment in the Old Testament to the seventh commandment, don't commit adultery. And many of them probably had their hands folded like this and like, yep, I'm good to go. So far, I'm all right with Jesus, right? And then Jesus lowers and goes lower and lower, and he digs deeper, and he digs deeper. And then he says something amazing. Verse 28. But I tell you that anyone who looks, you may want to underline the word looks, I'll explain that, looks, anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Now, do you think Jesus is only talking to men? No. Certainly men, we need to be reminded of this. Your eyes, men, my eyes, are really important to who God has wired us and created us. But this is also for ladies, because ladies, you're not dead, right? And so you look too. And so read this in a way that it's just for every one of us. And Jesus says, but I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. You see, they were told in the first century that all you needed to do is follow all the commandments. And if you just follow the commandments, you're okay. And what Jesus is saying is, oh, no, 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 it's much deeper than that. It's far more important that you deal with your attitudes and your behaviors. And if you're going to be committed to a relationship, whether you're married or single or whether you're a teenager, if you're going to be committed to your relationships, then it's more important that you understand that commitment to that relationship and the attitudes that are called for and then the actions that are called for. See, the Pharisees were going just for the actions. If you just don't commit adultery, then, you know, you're okay. And Jesus says, no, it's far more important. There's a lot more at stake there than this, because he's talking about loyalty. And see, Jesus raises the bar. In fact, this is what he's saying. Adultery is not just a physical act. There's a lot more at stake. The attitudes in your life matter. But it's a little confusing because in verse 28, Jesus says, anyone who looks, I look, you look, everybody in here looks. And certainly you've noticed people, and I'm sure if you're honest with yourself, you could give a test to that. What is Jesus saying here? Well, this is really important. The word looks there is the word blepo. You might want to write that down and put that on your post-it note and write it on your mirror. Men and women, blepo. It means look and keep looking. So Jesus is saying, but I tell you, anyone who keeps looking at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. There's a big difference between looking and keep looking. Jesus is saying you got to be careful to understand the difference between a glance and a glare. See, a glance is when you look at someone. A glare is when you keep looking at someone. And Jesus is saying if you want to be loyal in your relationships, look, but then look away. Glance, but don't glare. Make sure you understand the difference because Jesus is talking about loyalty here. He's talking about loyalty in marriages. He's talking about loyalty with singles. He's talking about high schoolers. As you live in a high school environment where it's just so sexually charged, it's unbelievable. And high schoolers, listen carefully. You need to understand blepo. Blepo means keep looking. And Jesus says, don't do that. You see, a glare is when your heart is lied to. When you glare and you keep looking, your heart is lied to. And when you glare, the spark of desire, which by the way is God-given, the spark of desire is inflamed. And if you're not careful, it's like a forest fire. And it begins to be inflamed, and all of a sudden your attitudes and your actions possibly might be wrong. And Jesus is addressing this. See, when you glare, there are hidden fantasies that can happen in your life. Anybody willing to be honest enough to admit that there's a possibility of hidden fantasies? See, Jesus is saying that when you glance and you look away, you're probably going to be okay. But when you glare and you keep looking, you blepo, what happens is hidden fantasies inside that nobody can see becomes part of your mind, and all of a sudden there's a recording that takes place in your mind, and then you can take that recording and you can play it back next week and next month, and you can play, it's like a recording. You just hit the pause and then hit the play button, and it plays over and over in your mind. And Jesus is saying, be careful. It's way more important that you understand blepo. Blepo. See, when you glare, it promotes wrong attitudes. And heaven forbid, it would promote bad actions. When you glare, it hijacks loyalty in your life. And this is a huge, huge deal with Jesus. That's why he brings this up. He says, I know that you've heard it said that you should keep all these commandments. This is the seventh commandment, that you shouldn't commit adultery. But there's a lot more at stake in your heart, because it's a heart issue. There's a lot more at stake. You ought to consider, don't blepo. Don't keep looking. Because loyalty is a commitment to a relationship and the attitudes and behaviors that are demanded of it. And so he says, don't blepo. See, disloyal human relationships impact divine relationships. Disloyal horizontal relationships impact our vertical relationship. And the opposite is also true, that loyal divine relationships fuel loyal human relationships. And it's no wonder that Jesus is talking at even a deeper level, that your relationship to God requires a commitment where your attitudes and your actions follow, because that's what's demanded of you, and it'll impact your relationships, whether you're married or single, high school, middle school, female or male. Blepo. See, you can't stop Satan from tempting you, but you can put a stop to the temptation, right? All you do is glance. Martin Luther said this, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop that bird from building a nest in your hair. Pretty good advice. I remember as a kid, my parents and my grandparents and my Sunday school teachers used to tell me, if you would just get things right with God, David, if you would just get things right with God. And what they meant by that is, if you make a commitment to a relationship, it's going to impact your attitudes and your actions. They just never went that far and said that. It was kind of confusing when I was a kid. And see, if you and I are going to be loyal to God, it'll cause us to be loyal in all of our relationships. Do you realize that Jesus is even going a step further? I think he's even alluding to the fact that you and I can commit, you ready for this? Spiritual adultery. Spiritual adultery. Where something takes first place in our lives, it's not God. Our jobs, our careers, our hobbies, our portfolios, whatever it might be. Spiritual adultery, where we're unfaithful or disloyal to God, and it impacts our relationships. And it impacts our attitudes and our actions. So the question is, then how do we deal with this? How do you and I deal with our desires? How do you radically deal with the desires that you have in your life and the desires that I have? How do we all together radically deal with our desires? Well, Jesus fortunately answers the question. He knows the question is going to come up ahead of time, so he answers it. Look at verse 29. Here's what he tells us to do. He says, if your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out, throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. Now, Jesus is not really literally talking about hell. He's not literally saying that when you blepo, men, when you keep looking, that you should gouge your eye out and throw it away. He's using hyperbole, and he's saying this is really important. In fact, if you like to write in your Bibles, you might want to write two words. Here's what Jesus means in these verses, in 29 and 30. He means this, control yourself. Control yourself. I'm going to give you today 8 ways to control yourself. But you're going to get them online. I'm not going to give them to you in this message. You're going to get them in your small groups. And so you're going to have to do a little homework today if you want to know these 8 ways, because if you and I are going to be loyal in making sure that we radically deal with our desires, then we need to control ourselves. So how do you control yourself? There are 8 ways that you can download from the internet, from the notes that we have here, that you're going to get then in your small groups. Chances are you might want to look at those 8. You could add to them. Certainly we can't delete from them, because those 8 things will help us in controlling ourselves. Well, Jesus goes on. Look at verse 31. He says, "It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce." Period. Stop there. Again, Jesus is really not dealing with divorce. He's dealing with the issue of loyalty. And he knows in the minds of the people that were sitting on that mountain, he knows that they understood Deuteronomy chapter 24. In Deuteronomy chapter 24, we see Moses responding to the people, and he's responding almost in exaggeration. Because in that culture, if men did not like their women, or if women were annoying to men, catch this, they could divorce them by simply saying, "You know what? You bug me, and so we're done. Here's a certificate of divorce. You're out." I mean, it was that simple. And Moses, in Deuteronomy chapter 24, almost exaggeratingly says, well, if you give a certificate to this wife, and she goes on, and she gets a second certificate, and this guy over here, and he dies, you can't go back to this husband because he's probably got another wife, and so you can't go back to this guy over here. And he uses this exaggeration because what Jesus is driving at is loyalty is commitment to a relationship, and the attitudes and behaviors, say it with me, that are demanded of that relationship. So he's driving at a point here. Verse 31, "It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, makes her a victim," underline the word victim, "victim of adultery. And anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery." Again, don't get caught up in the words here. Don't get caught up in the divorce and all this. Here's what Jesus, I believe, is trying to communicate as he's talking about character. He says this, loyalty is a commitment not to harm anyone. Not to harm anyone. How many of you would agree that a broken relationship harms everybody involved? Can I see your hands? We all agree, right? A broken relationship harms. And Jesus is driving at a very, very deep principle here, because the minds of the people sitting on that mountain were like, you know what? If my wife, if she's annoying, I'm just going to give her a certificate. And she can go on to the next one, and maybe he'll give her, just on and on and on. And Jesus is saying that disloyalty is not what God desires. And also, Jesus is saying in here that if you're going to be loyal, if you're going to be loyal and you're going to be committed not to harm anyone, just because you can doesn't mean you should. Just because you have the right to give somebody a certificate, just because you have a right to divorce them doesn't mean you should, right? And in fact, that principle works in any area of your life. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. If you go to Colorado, you know what's legal in Colorado? Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Am I right, folks? There's a lot of ways in our culture today where this principle works, and Jesus is communicating that loyalty is a commitment not to harm anyone, including yourself. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. See, God is honored and God is glorified by being loyal. And with God's strength, we can be loyal in our relationships, and we can make sure that in our commitment, we're committed not to harm anyone. So at the end of this message, I'm going to ask you a question. What is loyalty calling for you to do? What is loyalty calling on you today? Because loyalty is a commitment not to harm anyone. But then Jesus goes on. Look at verse 33. He says, "Again, you've heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath." See, Jesus is talking about Deuteronomy chapter 23, where Jesus says in there, make your yes, yes, and your no, no. And in fact, if you make a commitment to God, don't be slow on making sure that you fulfill that commitment. Don't be slow. In other words, get it done right away. Because if you don't do it right away, chances are you're going to forget, or something's going to happen, and you're going to delay it, and it might not happen in your life. And so in Deuteronomy chapter 23, God says, don't delay on the things that you make commitments to. And so that's the context that people understand in Deuteronomy 23. And so Jesus says, verse 33, again, you've heard it said, do not break your oath, but fulfill what the Lord, to fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all. Watch this. Either by heaven, for it's God's throne, or by the earth, for it's his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no, and anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Do you know that in the first century culture, they did what you and I have been taught as kids, that if you make a promise, but you cross your fingers and put it behind your back, it's not valid. Right? Have you ever heard that before? We say, I promise that I won't do that, fingers crossed behind our back. Do you know they did the same thing in the first century culture? Because it was known that the Pharisees or the leaders said, if you make a promise, but you promise on heaven, it's like putting your fingers behind your back. Or if you make a promise and you promise on Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem, then it's like having your fingers behind your back. If you make a promise and you promise, on, as it says in here, on heaven or on the earth or by Jerusalem, and Jesus is saying, that's hogwash. Don't look for loopholes. Here's the third principle. See, loyalty is what you do, not what you say. It's what you do. So just do it. See, there was all kinds of deceit happening. Here's the problem. I think we get confused when we make comments and we make promises to our kids and to our wives and to our friends and to our high schoolers. We get caught up in the difference between intent and commitment. See, we say things because we intend to do things when it really doesn't happen. And Jesus is saying, don't make comments because you intend to do something. Make a comment because you committed and then do it. And this makes a whole lot of sense to me. Because see, I grew up in a family where if you made a promise, it was a promise based on an intention. And the sad thing is I brought that into my marriage. In my first 2 years of marriage, I learned real big lessons from my wife. I'm so grateful for her in my life. Kathy would say to me, have you paid that bill? And I would say, yes, because I intended to do it the next day. Ladies, how many of you by raised hand, that doesn't work? Kathy would say, have you taken the garbage out? And I would say, yes, because I intended to do it on the way home from work when I got home. And the intention didn't work with Kathy. And she taught me early on that if you're going to say something, make a commitment, because don't base it on intention. Fast forward in my life, 25-some years, I got a phone call from this guy at Fairhaven Church. His name was Pete Schwamm. And Pete said, do you want to come to Dayton, Ohio and be at Fairhaven Church? And I said, where? He said, Dayton, Ohio. And I said, oh, no. I mean, from my chair in the international church that I pastored in Malaysia, I could throw a number two pencil into the ocean. I was 60 feet from the water. It was a beautiful island. All the Europeans would come to the island that we lived on. It was to Europeans what Hawaii is to Americans. And we were on that island. We never sent pictures home and said, pray for us. Suffering for the Savior over here in Malaysia, you know? So Pete said, would you pray about it? And I said, okay, I'll pray. So we prayed about it for 1 week. And he said, are you coming to Dayton? And I said, no. He said, honestly, just pray about it. And so the third time he called, we thought, you know what, we need to check this out. So we were coming home anyway to the U.S. And we came home in 1996 in June. We drove into this parking lot. We parked way back there on the left side in the Centerville campus. And we walked in. I spoke that Sunday. It was a communion Sunday. I still remember the message. I know exactly the title. I know exactly what I said. I remember that message like it was yesterday. And we got in the car afterwards. And Kathy looked at me and said, what do you think? And I said, I think we're supposed to come to Dayton. Here's the problem. See, we had been in Malaysia, and 2 years earlier, the church asked me if I would commit to 4 years. And I did. I said, I'll stay at least 4 more years. And we were 2 years in. So I called Pete. See, I learned a lot of lessons from my wife. And I called Pete, and I said, Pete, I got to be honest with you. We want to come. We'd love to come to Fairhaven Church. But you're going to have to wait 2 years. And he said, well, wait. I was shocked. But more than that, I was pleased that I learned a lesson of the difference between intent and commitment. See, our word is not about our intention. It's about the commitments that we make in our lives. And so Jesus says, loyalty is what you do, not what you say. And the last one is, loyalty is always rewarded. God always rewards us. See, better is one day in your courts, Psalm says, than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk, whose walk is blameless. Blameless means loyal. Loyalty is a commitment to a relationship and the attitude and behavior that is demanded of it. Where do you need to be more loyal in your life? Where is the call of loyalty calling at you right now? So you have to control yourself. In every one of these situations, you have to control yourself. And if you want, you can go online. I'll give you 8 ways to control yourself. And I encourage you to download those. I encourage you in your small groups to talk about them, because these are very practical ways that you and I can control ourselves, whether it comes to the things that we say, or whether it comes to hurting people, or whether it comes to in our relationships, making sure that we do the right things. Loyalty. Would you bow with me in prayer as we just ask God in our lives, because we need the strength of God in order to be loyal in all of our relationships. God, I thank you that through this Sermon on the Mount that you communicate so many deep principles in our lives. And Father, I just ask that you would help each one of us in all of our relationships, whether we're married or single, or whether we're in our teenage years, or whether we're in between, or whether we're in our senior years. Father, we desire to be people of commitment to our relationships. And then following that, we want to be loyal to the attitudes that are right and the behaviors that are right. And so help us to do that. Father, we know that loyalty is a character trait that shows the world around us that you are involved and you are the one that is changing us from the inside out. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. And the church said,